So let's break this down into the, both the short term, because you're talking about very acute benefits of not sleeping, which is you can crush your exam, you can power through and get things done. And that probably works. It's only been a year, so you're only a year older than you were the first time we had this conversation. But I think that if we look at the short term, and then we also, I want to make sure our listeners understand the long term, because lack of sleep has significant effects on your heart, your endocrine system, your immune system, your nervous system, and your mental health.
My name is Leigh Farnason. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast. Hey there, and welcome to today's episode of the Vegan Gym Podcast. I'm your host, Leigh Farnason, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Daphne Bascom. Daphne, we have a super important topic today. Could you share what that's all about?
Leigh, we are going to be talking about sleep. It sounds boring, and hopefully everyone is going to stay awake until the end of this episode, but we want to talk about sleep. And I don't know if you remember, but shortly after I joined the Vegan Gym, you and Anders hosted me on a Vegan Gym community live stream, and I talked about sleep. And I have a feeling, just from the expressions on both of your faces, that you're like, what's up about sleep? Why is she going on about sleep? But sleep is really important. And today we're going to have a good conversation about your sleep, my sleep, and why everyone listening should really prioritize sleep in 2024.
This feels like the start of an intervention. All right, we'll see. We'll see how I fare.
I tried
this.
To start the intervention a year ago.
Yeah, that's true. So well, I have come to a few important realizations about sleep. So we'll get into that as well.
So I will confess, I was late to the game, and I was one of those people who thought not getting sleep was a badge of honor. So I could stay up all night as a resident. I could go multiple days with minimal sleep. And I thought, I'm strong. No one could touch me. But it wasn't until I actually started educating myself. So I listened to Dr. Matthew Walker, reading his book, Why We Sleep.
That's a great book.
It's a great book. But a light bulb came on. And part of what I realized is that sleep deprivation has such a negative impact on how we greet the world and how I was doing my job, how you as a CEO are probably doing your job. But it is a problem for probably the majority of people in the United States. And over 40% of people will have admitted to not getting adequate sleep on a nightly basis. So I wanted to ask you to reflect back to when we had this conversation a year ago, what you thought about sleep then and what you think about sleep now.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say probably a year ago, I was in the process of realizing the importance of sleep. I guess I have always, up until recently, I've also on some level looked at it in the same way, as a badge of honor, like, oh, I'm healthy, I can push through this, I'm mentally strong, I can go through challenging times, I can work late, get up early and work early, and just really put in some serious hours with training and work. But that's, I think, I don't know what, I do feel like my ability to perform with lack of sleep has diminished. And I think that probably makes sense. I'm not too old, but I know as you get older, I know that happens. And I just remember in college, I was able to easily pull an all-nighter and then just crush the next day.
Yeah. Easily.
Or so I thought. Yeah. Yeah. I guess maybe I didn't quite crush every exam, but but it generally worked out well for me. I did well through school. And yeah, I don't think I would have ever looked at that and said, okay, that's optimal. Like I love pulling an all-nighter, but it never it felt like something that was achievable, like I could do it, and it didn't seem like an issue. And I thought, well, I'm not lazy. I can push through, get it done. So fast forward to now, I view things very differently because I look through everything in terms of how am I optimizing my time. And that really comes down to productivity. So if I am going to get less sleep in a night, maybe this has become a little bit more challenging over time, as I just touched on, but I really feel the effects of getting fewer than 8 hours of sleep per night. I know even at 7 hours, I feel like I'm just a little slow. I'm mentally slow. I don't feel like I'm making the best decisions. I'm generally a little bit more irritable, and that is not helpful for running a team or showing up in my relationships or anything like that. So I've been really trying to prioritize sleep, and that's a big focus heading into the new year, is I want to make sure that sleep is always a priority, and I'm making sure that I emphasize sleep in my schedule because I know it has a huge outsized return in my day. So if I sleep 8 hours versus seven, that for me ends up contributing way more productivity to my day than that extra hour that I quote unquote save from not sleeping. So that's how I view it now.
So when you save an hour, did you really ever save an hour?
I'm not sure. That's a tough question. There were definitely, and I'm not proud of this, but there were definitely times in school where I crammed for an exam, and I know I would have done worse
if I had not
spent those extra 8 hours studying and like pulling an all-nighter and then waking up I didn't go to bed. And then getting up and going and taking the exam. Yeah. Like, I know that was helpful in certain circumstances, but realistically, I should have just studied better. I should have just structured my schedule in a way where that didn't need to happen. So, yeah, I guess I think that's the only example of it being beneficial for me in any way. But pretty much all the time, it hasn't really been beneficial, or it means that I was doing something wrong.
So let's break this down into both the short term, because you're talking about very acute benefits of not sleeping, which is you can crush your exam, you can power through and get things done. And that probably works. It's only been a year, so you're only a year older than you were the first time we had this conversation. But I think that if we look at the short term, and then I want to make sure our listeners understand the long term, because lack of sleep has significant effects on your heart, your endocrine system, your immune system, your nervous system, and your mental health. And I just want to touch on these briefly because they're not inconsequential. Because a lot of what we're talking about in the Vegan Superhero Academy is the long game. So the short game's important. You know, how do we help you become the best CEO ever? And getting sleep is an important part of that equation. But if you're talking about things that you've learned from Dr. Greger and all of the other well-respected physicians in this field about why sleep is additionally important from a health perspective, it's because lack of sleep can increase your risk for high blood pressure. It can increase your risk for having an acute cardiac event, such as a heart attack. We know, and you may have experienced, that when you are sleep deprived, your hunger hormones are also altered. So you're probably going to go after those comfort foods, the higher carb foods, the foods that you are probably less inclined to eat when you are well rested. But when you're sleep deprived, it just feels like they call to you out of the cupboard and you're going to go get them. And you mentioned that you are more irritable. Your mood is probably low. For people who are my age and older, it can also impact your memory, learning, and your balance. So there's a multitude of reasons why you need to focus on sleep, both from a short-term perspective, that you are trying to be the best you possible and be the best leader, the best son, the best partner. But then there's the long-term game that you don't want any of these diseases to impact your health and your vitality long-term. So these are very impactful reasons why it's important that we have this conversation with our community, because sleep really is your superpower, to paraphrase Dr. Walker. But Leif, can you share what prompted you to prioritize sleep now? I know you shared a couple of things. And did you have any data or information aside from your subjective feeling that made you think, oh crap, I really need to be paying more attention to my sleep?
Yeah. Yeah, let's jump into a Whoop commercial. Not sponsored. No, there was, yeah, it really, I actually credit Matthew Walker's book for being the catalyst to rewiring my beliefs about sleep. So I was really astounded by the detrimental effects of lack of sleep that he talks about in his book. So I've just kind of gone down a bit of a rabbit hole in the world of sleep. And then also within the last 4 months or so, I started following a guy named Brian Johnson. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of this longevity guy who's really become popular in the last few months in particular. And he's an entrepreneur, and he just is really focused on how do I maximize my health span and lifespan. And I was just really inspired by his dedication to his health and his desire to live a long, healthful life and do that while also building a company and really focusing a lot of his energy on creating things. So he also touches a lot on the importance of sleep, and that's really kind of the number one thing I would say he focuses on, is just making sure that his sleep is 100%, literally.
Non-negotiable.
He tracks it. Yeah, he tracks it with Whoop, which is just a wearable tracker that you wear on your wrist. And I think the reason I got one initially is because you and Brian on our team kept talking about it, and I checked it out and I decided to get one. And I pretty much use it exclusively for sleep tracking. And that's been really valuable. So Whoop will tell you what your sleep score is. So they give you a score up to 100% that tells you if you got enough sleep the previous night. And they will also tell you how much deep sleep, deep plus REM sleep, you got the previous night as well. So I've actually found that metric to be even more indicative of my kind of present state. And so I really focus on the number of hours and minutes that I get of deep sleep. So that's kind of been what's changed in my life and why I've been focusing more on sleep. And I found it to be really impactful, because when I wake up after a full night of sleep, if I get 100% on my Whoop sleep score and I've had at least 3+ hours of deep plus REM sleep, I wake up with the energy and mental clarity that I need to crush my day. And this is especially important heading into the new year with my new focus on what's on my plate and what kind of key priorities I need to be focusing on. And I think sleep is going to be a really important aspect of that. So I'm going to be working to really dial in my sleep structure, my sleep schedule, and make sure that I am setting up every night for success when it comes to sleep. Because I mostly, I mostly do most of the things that these guys talk about that you should be doing to improve your quality of sleep. But what if you always do all of the things? That's, I think, probably an order of magnitude better. And I really want to work to capture that.
So, first of all, that's amazing. If you got 100, if your sleep score was 100 and you can do that, if you can hit that benchmark on a consistent basis, I can't imagine how you would feel. But I just want to pull the thread on a couple of things. One, underlying what you were just talking about is creating non-negotiables and a consistent behavior pattern, which are, you know, going back to our focus on mindset and performance, those are key to performance because you have to create boundaries and you have to be able to say, I'm not willing to let anything encroach on my sleep, non-negotiable. Two is consistency. So what are you doing or what are you changing so that you can hit a sleep score of 100 and you can get those 3 hours of deep sleep on a consistent basis?
So yeah, to the first point that you raised, being able to hit 100%, that just is, I already know that's a next level of performance and output that I can really bring to all my days. And I'm also just generally happier, less irritable, and those are all really positive things. The longest 100% sleep streak that I've pulled together so far was 3 weeks. Yeah. And that, I just felt great.
I'm jealous.
And yeah. And it's amazing. It actually becomes, I think it becomes easier actually as you, it's like probably any healthy habit. The more you do it, the more kind of dialed in you are, the easier it is to just continue building that chain and continue to build that habit from day to day. So that was amazing. I did that a few months ago and I intend to jump back in and start doing that again. Brian Johnson, for comparison, has been on a 100% sleep streak for about 7 months now.
That's amazing.
And one thing that I've been learning through Whoop is that your sleep needs drop as you string together really good sleep. So I found that I was actually, it dropped down to about 7 hours and 40 minutes that I was required to hit for 100% sleep. So that also is really effective in terms of just maximizing the time invested in different aspects of my schedule. I want to get a full night of sleep, but if you get a bad night of sleep and then Whoop says, hey, we kind of need to make up for that. And then I have seen as high as 9 hours for my required sleep in a night. And that's because I got a very poor night of sleep the night prior. So just from a efficiency standpoint, that the more kind of dialed in, I think this is actually just a good thing to note in general for any healthy habits. The more you get dialed in on it, the greater the rewards and the less kind of effort is required, and also the more efficient you're going to be with it, which means it's going to generally take less time. So for all of those reasons, it makes sense to continue doing the really good habits every single day and just not getting off track. We released one of my favorite episodes that we've ever recorded was a podcast titled, Are You 83% Committed? And it was all about people who take off in November and December and then restart at the beginning of the year. And it's, yeah, we all know, oh, that's not optimal. It doesn't really make sense, but the holidays, family, parties, whatever, there are other things going on. So it's understandable, but then it's like every single January, you're getting this kind of, you're getting your healthy habits moving again. You need to get back into a place of momentum, and then you start cruising up until, let's call it the end of October. And then you just kind of hit a wall, you stop, and then you have to build that momentum up again. Same thing happens with people on a weekly basis. I'm consistent Monday through Friday, and then the weekend I've got a barbecue to attend, I've got a party, I've got things to do, I can't go work out or whatever, or my sleep schedule is way different because I want to stay up, go out with friends, I want to go have a drink, and then that messes up my sleep too. So it's kind of, so many people are in a constant cycle of making some progress and then stopping, and then needing to restart, make some progress and then stop. And I guess that's really what I've found with my sleep structure as well. If I get really dialed in, it's max, it gives me the largest benefit, and it also becomes really efficient. And then that's actually how I can be maximally productive, is if I string together these healthy habits. I need to sleep 7 hours and 40 minutes. I sleep that kind of on the dot. And then I wake up, crush the rest of my day. I'm doing all of the healthy habits that I just am consistent with, and I'm just continuing to maintain that momentum. So that's something that I've really honed in on with my sleep that I think will be really helpful.
And I love that term momentum, because it's something that, you know, once you get that motion moving, you don't want to stop it. You don't want to stop it on the weekend. You don't want to stop it November, December. Your analogy reminded me even of meal prep. So once you're doing it, you become efficient at it. It becomes very effective, and it's just easy to keep doing it. But the data that you gained, and whether, you know, people listening, whether you're using a Whoop or an Aura, I wear both and the data are very similar, but I do think the insights from the Whoop are so much better, because you do get that. I think I had one recently. I need 9.5 hours of sleep in order to.
We got to turn the tables now. Time for your intervention.
I need to get back on the 100%. But those insights that you've gained and the impactful changes that you're making are going to pay off in dividends. So can you share, though, before I talk a little bit about some of my tips for those listening on how to get a better night's sleep, are there other things that you're doing? Are you stopping work earlier? Are you stopping your device usage earlier?
Yeah.
What are your recommendations? Yeah,
sorry, I went on a little bit of a tangent. I never really answered that main question you asked. Yeah, so in terms of things that I'm doing, it's kind of, I'm trying to check all of the obvious boxes. So for example, going to sleep in a cool, dark room, that's something that I prioritize. Every, like an hour before I go to bed, I turn the thermostat down to about 67 is what I typically like. My whole room is totally blacked out, and that is really valuable. And I also have a sleep mask just in case I need that at some point, because actually, that's really only if I'm not on the right schedule and then the sun is coming up and I need another 30 minutes of sleep. So that's pretty much the only time I actually need that. So ideally, I wouldn't even need the sleep mask. But really getting dialed in on the environment is really important. So I've actually been experimenting with pillows as well. I was inspired by Brian Johnson with that. He went through, tested a bunch of pillows and said, this is the exact, I think he uses two pillows, like one for his neck and then one for his head. Mm-hmm. He's like, these are the perfect pillows for me. So then I went through and I certainly didn't do the same kind of analysis he did, but I went through, I tested a few pillows and found what worked best for me. That's another thing. Also, this is one that I'm working on. I'm not doing well right now, but it's just not eating as late. Mm-hmm. So the main changes that I'm working on now, one other thing that I think I've mentioned before on the podcast is I tape my mouth shut every single night.
Oh, are you taping?
Yeah. And that's, I picked that up in the book Breathe.
Breathe, yeah.
I forget the author's name.
Nestor?
Yes. I forget his first name, but
I'm going blank too.
Okay. Anyways, that book was really great. And yeah, in it, he says, like, humans are healthiest. Basically, one of the main premises of the book is that humans are healthiest when they breathe through their nose. Mm-hmm. So one way that you can force yourself to breathe through your nose for the entire duration that you're sleeping is by simply taping your mouth shut. So you just take a piece of, I've found some medical tape that I really like. So you just take a piece of medical tape and just put it vertically over your mouth. And I do that every single night. I've been doing that for probably 6 months now. And I found that to be really valuable. So that's helpful. Cool, dark room. Trying to stop eating and drinking mm-hmm. earlier in the day. So at least an hour before winding down, getting ready for bed. So those are some of the main things that I'm focusing on. In terms of schedule, that's the number one lever that I can pull right now to improve my sleep. And I realized that I've always said, or at least for the past few years, I've always said that your day starts the night before.
It does.
And if you push your evening too late and you still need to get adequate sleep, then you kind of start the day behind. I much prefer to work out first thing in the morning and start my day early. And when I work out at 5 a.m. after a full night of sleep, and then I jump right into work, those days are amazing. And then I always ask myself, why do I not do this every single day? What is wrong with me? I feel like an idiot because I constantly, I'll hit it and then I get off track.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it comes back to that momentum conversation. Why can't I just always string those days together? So I've been analyzing why that is for me. And I realized it's really 100% dependent on when I stop work. So the main change that I'm working to implement in my schedule now is stopping work at a set time every single day. So that time is going to be 5:30. And that feels really early, but if I'm all consistently starting work at 7 a.m. and crushing it and being super productive, really dialed in, that's going to produce way more than I'm producing now. So I think there's been a little bit of a mindset shift that I've needed to make in terms of how I view productivity and working hard and being okay with totally closing the laptop and saying, okay, I'm off past this point. And working, and part of that is just communicating with the rest of our team and making sure that we all are communicating in a really efficient way because we're all remote. So how are we communicating during those the hours that I am available, and making the most of that time? So that's really the main thing that I'm working on now. But ideally, stopping work at 5:30. And another thing that I found is usually when I go to eat dinner, which tends to kind of be whenever I'm done work, which could be, yeah, I'm not proud to say, right. It could be anywhere from like 6 to 9-ish, something like that. But working to improve. So sometimes eating a really late dinner, sometimes it's even after 9. But eating a late dinner and then you don't actually get into bed until like 10, 10:30. You don't get to sleep until 11 or so. One thing that I do know I need is some wind down time, and I'd prefer that to be without a screen. So I'm not immune to the temptations of Netflix like pretty much anyone else, but how else can I kind of check that relaxation box, that zone out box, without needing to look at a screen? And for me, that's finding a really good book series. So I've actually, just like the pillows, I've been going through and testing some different book series, and I won't blast any of them here, but I've read a few of them and haven't really found my jam just yet. So I just ordered another book series actually yesterday. So I'm going to jump into that, and hopefully my goal is to find a book series that really, a fiction series, because I love reading business books, personal development books, nonfiction, but that's not what I need. I know, at least for me, that's not what I need to read to be able to wind down at the end of the day. So finding just a really great fictional series that I can kind of dive into, preferably one that has tons of books. So once I find one that works, I can just roll through that for the next year or so. So I hopeful with this new book. And I think that's been another missing piece, is just making sure I want something that I actually really look forward to. So I eat dinner and then I'm like, I can't wait to jump in bed and read this, and then just kind of let that put me to sleep. So getting to bed early, waking up early after a full night of sleep, and then crushing the rest of my day. That's
awesome.
That was a little long winded, but those are kind of all the things I'm focusing on.
No. And so I want to applaud you, because a lot of that, so starting at the top and setting an example, you're also setting an example for the rest of the team. Because if we all want to crush it, we all need to be doing the same thing. And it just is a good, it gives us all momentum to make some of those changes that we need to, because we're all going to be working on the same schedule. But I did want to ask you two other variables that may impact you or others in the sleep routine. So one, caffeine. And the other is you work out mainly in the morning, so you never work out at night. But do you have any thoughts for people that may be shift workers or those who really don't have the liberty of saying, I'm going to work out at 5 a.m., which we both do?
I do not consume any caffeine, period. That's it. I have experimented with caffeine. First of all, I don't like the taste of coffee. So I know most of you listening are not going to be on the same page with that. But
I don't either.
I don't like coffee at all. Love the smell. Can't stand the taste. So don't have that fixation. And also, I don't drink anything with caffeine. I don't intake caffeine in any way. The one substance that I have tried with caffeine is pre-workout. Mm-hmm. And I had been experimenting with this like a few years ago. I was trying some different pre-workouts. The one thing that I really did not like was caffeine, because I have, obviously, I never use caffeine, so my tolerance for it is extremely low, and it would substantially impact my sleep. So I just said, no more, not doing that. I actually found a caffeine-free pre-workout that I use sometimes. It's a stim-free one from Cage Muscle. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't use pre-workout that much, maybe once a week or something like that, if I feel like I just need a little something. But yeah, I really don't use any caffeine. So I don't think there's, ideally, you should create a sleep and health routine where caffeine is not needed.
Exactly.
So I think there's so many people who just caffeinate themselves because they haven't dialed in their sleep. They're constantly just kind of zombies walking through the day, and that's not optimal to your health. And you already know that, but what can you do to get out of that cycle? It's focus on some of these other habits that we're discussing. How do you prioritize sleep? So so caffeine is not a necessary crutch. So that would be my recommendation. In terms of working out and the ideal schedule, I really like working out in the mornings. I have tried other times when I was going through college. I would work out at like 9 p.m. every night. I would just do really late night workouts, and that worked well. I did that with a friend, and that's probably the only reason it worked well. And the fact that I think I had a higher tolerance for lack of sleep back then. but I've tried evening workouts. I've tried midday workouts, and I feel like that just kind of throws a wrench into my day. I feel like once I get into things, it's difficult to jump out and get into work. The only to jump back out, work out, and then get back into work later that afternoon. And I just feel like I find myself just on my phone, like responding to messages from our team and all that when I'm working out. And just, it's like I'm kind of half in, half out with everything. And that doesn't feel good. So the only time I've been really dialed in on a workout routine that's worked extremely well for me is doing early in the morning. So I have largely been off of that routine. So that's a routine I know I need to get back into to be on top of fitness. And that's another, getting more fit right now is not a top priority for me. It would be a nice to have. The focus right now is just really dialing in my output with the vegan gym and making sure that I can produce what I need to produce to move our whole team, community, and everything forward. So that is a priority, but no one should underestimate the power of being consistent with your workout routine when it comes to your productivity as well. So I've never been diagnosed with ADHD, but I do find myself easily distracted. And so one thing that I listen to all the time is an ADHD focus track that I found on YouTube. There's actually a YouTube channel with a bunch of different ADHD kind of focus playlists. I find that music to be, it's basically just the same thing over and over for like 10 hours, and it's perfect. I love listening to it. And some people will listen to it and just be like, how can you listen to that for more than 2 minutes? It's terrible, but I love it. And I also find that it's a lot easier for me to stay focused when I have worked out that morning. So it just helps me to burn a little bit of that excess energy and just be a little bit more focused. And I really love sitting down at my desk every morning by 7 a.m. after getting a quality workout in. I just feel and having a really great night's sleep, I just feel at peace. I feel like I can really dial in. I can be super focused. And for me, that really works. To get to your question about changing schedules, whatever that kind of looks like, I think it really comes down to experimenting with the kind of go-to considerations that we've been discussing and that we'll get into more detail in just a minute. But experimenting with what works best for you to check as many of these boxes as possible. So I've been trying to qualify everything that I've said so far as things that have worked really well for me. I know take workout time, for example. I know other people who really find evening workouts to be awesome. Great. The best diet is the one that you can stick with. The best night routine is the one you can stick with. The best workout routine is the one you can stick with. And it really comes down to your schedule, what your commitments are, and then also your goals should be factored in as well. What are your main goals? What are you training for? What are you trying to accomplish? So yeah, I would really, just like I've been doing in the past few months in particular, just experimenting with different things, I think is really the solution there. Do you have any other kind of input in terms of shift workers specifically?
No. And I would agree with you. I mean, the general principles still apply. And I think the consistency is going to be the same. We have a lot of members of the Vegan Superhero Academy that work nights. A lot of our healthcare workers may work evenings. We have a lot of essential workers that work overnight, and we work with them to find out what works for their schedule. And sometimes you need to shift. It's almost like phase shifting, mm-hmm. so that it fits into their life, you know, how they have to structure their life, because it's the meals, it's the workout, it's the pre-bedtime routine. It still all applies, but the principles are consistent. The application is to the individual.
Yeah. And just kind of building off of that, I just kind of my general thoughts on people who have a changing schedule or have lots of commitments. Like I don't have kids. I'm not working a shift job. I have a single job. I don't work multiple jobs. I'm not saying it's not more challenging for you than it is for me, but that's not a reason to not try. So what can you do with the constraints that you have in your life to best impact your health and the health of your family? That should be the focus. And if you can't do everything, quote unquote, perfectly, like Brian Johnson or anyone else who kind of makes that their job, then that's okay. But how can you maximize your health, your vitality, your fitness, your nutrition? How can you maximize these in the time that you have and within the constraints that you have? That's the core focus.
Agreed. And we'll talk about perfection another time, because I think, you know, especially for people like you and I, that perfectionistic tendency can be very much a driver, but none of us are perfect. And it really is, how do you choose one thing, focus on it, optimize it, and understand how you can apply it, and then move on to the next, until it just becomes a holistic way of how you have really re-engineered a lot of your life. You have to make the decision, you have to understand your why, and then you have to whittle away at it to the best extent you can. It's not necessarily going to be ripping off the Band-Aid on everything at one on the same day, but you can implement these strategies tactically, and they will accrue and augment on each other over time. But I do want to recap a couple of things that you mentioned, because, and for those of you listening that are caffeine lovers or coffee lovers, also acknowledge that there are fast metabolizers and slow metabolizers of caffeine. I think if you read a lot of the literature, best practice recommendations are curtail your ingestion of caffeine like after noon, after 1 p.m., if you prefer those beverages or if you enjoy them. Whether it's your pre-workout, whether it's your coffee, whether it's your matcha, try and cut it off no later than 1 p.m. if that is in your list of priorities. But just to highlight everything that I think I heard you said, you have set non-negotiables about when you're stopping work. You're creating what I call a wind down routine. And you know, those that I coach will know that I sometimes text them and say, time to wind down, because that's when you turn down the lights. You start to turn down the temperature in the room. You take a shower. You pull out that book. You put your phone away. You need that wind down routine in order to prepare you for a good night's sleep. The regular sleep schedule is key. So going to bed and waking up the same time 7 days a week, not saying it's Friday night, I'm going to stay up and watch, I'm going to binge on Netflix. You don't catch up that way. That what you first started saying by, if you become efficient and effective at these habits, you actually don't want to mess up your schedule, because then you're accruing a debt that you don't really ever recover from. And then we didn't touch on it, and it's probably tied into your book series, but it's finding some way to relax, whether it's reading a book. It definitely, I'm recommending that it's not with a tablet, a phone, or something else with a light emitting device, whether it's turning on relaxing music, listening to Calm or Headspace, but finding something that can bring you down a level, that's important. Because most of us are running at 150 miles per hour all day, and you need that time to wind down, even if it's 30 minutes. But a wind down routine, a consistent wind down routine, is as important as consistent bedtime and wake time. So, Leif, I know I could talk about this topic for many more hours, and we probably need to do a deep dive into Brian Johnson on a podcast, but we will be checking in on your sleep strategy later this year to see how it's going.
Good.
But any
could use some accountability.
I was going to say, I will be your accountability partner, because it's important. and it's going to be important for you to hit your goals for 2024.
Yeah, I really feel like that's the, I feel like this change in schedule is going to be the driving force behind that. One, the main thing that I'm going to be emphasizing this coming year is focusing on content production and putting out just truly next level content across our platforms. And I know I feel like that's a strength of mine that I've been working hard to develop. And I know a requirement of being able to execute at the level I want and need to execute to hit our goals. It requires that I have this structure with my schedule, with my sleep routine. And then also I'm going to be time blocking time in the morning. We'll probably get into that in more detail at some other point, but structuring my schedule during the day in some ways to make sure that I'm kind of optimizing all of my productive work time.
Exactly. And you'll probably get more done in those 10 hours productively than you would in your 14 or 15 hours when you had 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Well, Leif, thank you for sharing all that. And I want to thank everyone else for joining us today on the Vegan Gym Podcast. We're committed to empowering your health and fitness journey with plant-based nutrition and holistic wellness. And our mission is to inspire you for positive change, to offer insights, and to help guide you in transforming your life, your body, and your mind. Until next time, everyone, keep thriving.
To get access to some of our best content for free, head over to thevegangym.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at thevegangym.com.